In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We live among people and in a world that is filled with sorrow and darkness, and it should be a joy to us to come into the house of the Lord. And Psalm 121 or 122, if you're looking at a Protestant Bible, talks about this. Psalm 121 is a song of ascent, and it's the third of 15 of these psalms, and these psalms are all about our journey to the kingdom of heaven. And it begins, "I was glad because of them that said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." You can tell how much you really love God by how glad you are to go into the house of the Lord. If you don't feel joy when it's time to go to church, what you need to do is to make yourself go until you do. But it's not to say that everything about church is all, you know, warm and fuzzy. Standing in church for a long service, it's difficult, it's work. The very word liturgy means service. So we're here to serve God, we're not here to be served. And so there's a labor in the worship that we do, but there's also a spiritual refreshing that we experience when we come to church, and there's also a joy that we experience being among our fellow believers that we don't get to see all the time. And so that's why you should be glad when you go into the house of the Lord. Now, the psalm was, of course, written originally about the earthly temple. But the earthly temple in Jerusalem was an image of and type of heaven. And we go, and this church also is likewise an image and type of heaven. But we go to earthly temples to get a taste of heaven, and that taste of heaven that we get when we go to church on a regular basis gives us the strength to make our journey through this life and into the kingdom of heaven in the next life. The psalm is about a pilgrim who's glad when he hears his brothers and sisters say it's time to make the pilgrimage to go to Jerusalem, because Jews who did not live in the immediate vicinity of Jerusalem were still obligated to go if they were within a reasonable journey distance to make the pilgrimage to the city of Jerusalem on the three major feasts that they had during the year. And if they were really far away, they were still obligated to do this pilgrimage at least once in their life. But the psalmist obviously had been there before, so when he hears people talking about going to the house of the Lord, he's also remembering his past experiences. He says, "Our feet have stood in thy courts, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city which its dwellers share in concord." St. Peter tells us that the heavenly temple is built with living stones, which are the faithful of all the ages, and Christ is the chief cornerstone. And he says, "Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And the dwellers in this city share in their communion with Christ, is what it's talking about, the dwellers share in concord. So we are all fitted together in the church. "For there the tribes went up, the tribes of the Lord, a testimony for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord." Now, the literal meaning of this would be talking about the various tribes of Israel that would make these pilgrimages. But spiritually, this is speaking about all the saints that have gone before us who are witnesses to God's faithfulness in their lives. That's why we read the lives of the saints. That's why we read the scriptures, because we see how God was faithful in their life, and that builds up our faith that God will be faithful to his promises to us. And where the saints have gone before, we're supposed to go. We are following in their footsteps. "For there are set thrones unto judgment, thrones over the house of David." And this is speaking of the final judgment in which the saints take part in the judgment and the wicked receive their due, but the righteous will inherit the kingdom of God forever. "Ask now for the things which are for the peace of Jerusalem and for the prosperity of them that love thee." We are to pray for the peace and unity of the church on earth. And that's one of the significances of the commemoration that we have today, the commemoration of the Holy Fathers. These councils that we commemorate were councils that were born out of strife, but they brought peace to the church, and we are to pray that peace prevails today. Because when there's peace and concord in the church, it prospers and the church is able to do what it's been called to do. And so we are called as individuals to be peacemakers in the church. And this doesn't mean that we promote peace at any price. There are many evangelicals, this is the background that I come from, so I know these folks because they're the people that I come from. Many of them, they're very nice people, but they're nice to a fault, and in their church life, sometimes they're so nice that they'll allow error to spread until it winds up taking over a denomination, and they wind up having teachings that are totally foreign to what the people who founded that denomination to be. We're not supposed to be peacemakers in that sense, because that's not real peace. That's a shameful peace. You're making peace with God's enemies when you make peace with error or truth with falsehood. But we are to pray and to seek to establish the church on earth in the unity of the faith and in love for one another. Because where we have unity of the faith and where we have love for one another, we can do great things as a church. Let peace be now thy strength and prosperity in thy palaces. Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We can have that peace even though we see war all around us, even though we see tumult and discord, because if we rest in God's strength, we experience His peace. If we trust in His providence, we know that we're never going to be wanting. We can have peace because we know God's in control. "For the sake of my brethren and my neighbors, I spake peace concerning thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I sought good things for thee." Because we love God, we also love each other, and we seek the welfare of the church. We don't seek our own desires, but we seek for the good and the edification of others. And if we do that, we wind up being edified ourselves. It's sort of paradoxical that we actually get spiritual benefit by seeking the benefit of other people rather than seeking our own benefit. In our journey to heaven, in these Psalms of Ascent, we, in the first Psalm, had left the world and we set our eyes on the heavenly Jerusalem. And then in the second Psalm, we look to God, who is the only one who can enable us to make the journey. And in this third Psalm, which is, you could say, the third step in our ascent to the kingdom of heaven, we see how love for God and our longing to be with Him gives us the strength to make the journey. And it gives us a love for our brethren, so that we can serve the Lord in unity and concord. And by our love for God and for our brothers, we are given peace even in this life, despite the warfare and tumult we find all around us in this world. And by this, we will find that everlasting peace of the age to come. Amen.